Have you ever been depressed? Raise your hand if you have ever gone through a time when your emotions were low or you felt blue or your energy level was really, really down. You ever been depressed? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Oh, the whole choir is depressed, I declare. Thank goodness. Hey, my hand's up. I mean, I would be amazed if a hand didn't go up from somebody, anybody. Because, you know, sometime, somewhere, in some way, all humans experience this feeling that we call depression. Perhaps you are feeling depressed today. If you are, you have a lot of company, a whole lot of company. Some experts say that we are in the midst of an epidemic of depression. So many people are dealing with it. It's just everywhere. Now, some, of course, have mild depression, but for some people, it is so severe that they can hardly stand it and they almost despair of life itself. Really bad. So the truth of the matter is, the statement is not if you will be depressed or if you are depressed, but the more accurate statement is when you are depressed. Because if it's never hit you or rarely hit you or not hit you hard, it will one day, maybe sooner, maybe later, but depression is a universal human experience. I appreciate how honest the Bible is about all subjects. And today we point out how honest the Bible is about depression. Let me ask you, do you find the word depression in the Bible anywhere? Can you think of where it uses that term? It's not there. You won't find that word, but you will find it described very, very clearly. We heard it today when Kathy was reading for us from Psalm 31. There's this vivid description of a person who is severely depressed. What did it say? My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed with anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails. My bones grow weak. I have become like broken pottery. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, hey, been there, done that, got the scars to show for it. Yeah, you know what the guy's talking about, don't you? There are many other psalms in the Bible that are similar and give voice to similar sorts of feelings. As a matter of fact, there is one whole book of the Bible that is given over to really down, depressed complaints. You know what that book's called, don't you? The Book of Lamentations. All these laments have been gotten together out of the depressing experience of Israel going through the captivity. Man, that was a depressing time. And Bill began the service by reading for us from Ecclesiastes. You want to get depressed? Read Ecclesiastes. The guy says, useless, useless. Everything is useless. He's depressed. And then this thing, what I just read about in Jeremiah, the 20th chapter, God's courageous prophet, this guy who was fearless so many times in so many ways and didn't give two hoots about preaching the word of God straight and fiery and fast. He got depressed. So depressed he wished he weren't even alive. Wow, maybe, just maybe, God is keenly aware of how you feel and your depressed feelings. Maybe he wants us to face these things honestly and openly. Maybe he is walking with us in our deepest valleys, if it's depression or whatever valley you might be facing today. Now, the American Psychiatric Association often offers these diagnostic criteria for depression. These are the symptoms of depression. Major depression is when an adult exhibits one or both of two core symptoms, depressed and lack of interest, along with four or more of these different symptoms for at least 2 weeks. Feelings of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt. The diminished ability to concentrate or make decisions. Fatigue. Or things like agitation, you know, you just can't sit still. Or on the other hand, they call it retardation, but that simply means just sitting around. You can't get going. Insomnia, you can't sleep. Hypersomnia is another symptom of it. You're sleeping way too much, sleeping your life away. Or there's a significant increase or decrease in your weight or your appetite. Or you just can't help but keep thinking about death or maybe even suicide. These are the clinical descriptions of depression or symptoms related to them. Now, I know that clinical definitions, they're sterile. And they fail to capture how it feels. You know, the depth of a person's suffering can't be described on the pages of a book. And nobody can define how you have felt when you have been depressed or how you are feeling today if you are depressed. It's no fun, is it? Feels terrible. And anybody who treats it lightly and anybody who just tells you, well, get over it. Has anybody ever told you that? Anybody ever said, well, just snap out of it? That person hasn't been very helpful, have they? And probably made the situation even worse. Excuse me. Of course, if you're throwing yourself a pity party, and have you ever thrown yourself a little pity party, you know, felt sorry for yourself, just kind of got sad because, you know, life wasn't going your way. I've done that before. The people who love me won't let me throw a pity party, and they'll come around and say, now, come on, you know, is it really that bad? It's not right to throw a pity party, but we've got to be really careful. We've got to be really compassionate, got to be really gentle with people when they're going through tough times emotionally, and especially when they're depressed, okay? You know that the World Health Organization names depression as the second most common cause of disabilities worldwide today. It ranks just after heart disease. Did you know that? And it's estimated that within the next decade, depression will probably pass heart disease as being the main health difficulty. In the United States today, 5 to 10% of adults currently experience symptoms of major depression. And up to 25% meet the diagnostic criteria sometime during their lifetime. 25% of us will probably be majorly depressed sometime in our lives. At any time, 15% of Americans are taking antidepressant medication. Now, if you think that, well, yeah, it's just people out there in the world. We Christians are immune to that sort of thing. And religious people don't have that kind of problem. Nope. That's a mistake. All the studies across the board have indicated that religious people, they've been studied everywhere from Orthodox Jews to the strongest evangelical Christians, have the same rates of depression as everybody else. So that means in a typical congregation, let's say there's 100 adults here today. In a typical congregation, 25 attendees will experience depression at some point, and probably 15 out of the 100 here are currently taking medication for depression. Now, there are many reasons we get depressed. Often, did you know that it's the body's natural reaction to stress, the body's natural reaction to loss. If we've gone through an intense period of activity, even if it was great, even if it was wonderful, even if it was exciting and grand, you go through a time of intense activity, your body can and will react to that and have a downtime, a slow time to recover, even from the good and the exciting stuff. Dr. James Dobson's a well-known Christian writer and speaker and so forth, and he was wise enough to recognize this. And he wrote in one of his books, he said many years ago when he and his wife Shirley were in the process of building a new home and in the process of moving into that new home, and it was going great and it was exciting, he made the point to tell his wife. He said, Shirley, look, we're going through this happy, exciting, wonderful time. Don't be surprised if after we get in the house and we're there for a little while, don't be surprised if we get depressed. He said that's the body's natural reaction to excitement and activity. And sure enough, they moved into the house, and a couple of weeks later, both of them were in a deep blue funk. But Dr. Dobson understood it, and he knew what was going on, and it greatly helped. Greatly helped. You know, when church members are in the hospital, I try my best to remember to warn them that when people go home from the hospital, even after the most effective successful surgeries, it's not at all uncommon. As a matter of fact, it is common to feel depressed when you go home. All that your body's been through with pain or the change of the hospital routine and then going home, it's the body's natural response to stress. When people have lost loved ones, I often try to remember to tell them that at first there's the numbness, there's the shock that kind of insulates you. There's all the activity that goes around with a funeral service and all that. It's the week or two later that you can really hit that really depressed time. It's natural. It's normal. And hopefully knowing that can really help. It's not that you're unspiritual. It's not that you don't have enough faith. It's just the way our bodies are wired. And if we acknowledge this fact, we're able to say, well, I expected this. And I'm not surprised. It's normal. I will get better. I hope you know that some people are genetically disposed toward depression. Check your genes, what you got from your parents and your ancestors. I didn't select mine. They were just handed to me. Okay? No one does that. So, you know, we really can't slam or criticize somebody who's got a chemical imbalance in their bodies. You know, their bodies don't produce enough serotonin or some other chemical that allows the nerves to communicate with one another, to connect, to allow you to be able to feel good. You need some stuff in your body, such as serotonin. Some people just physically lack that or don't have enough of it, and it causes them to feel severely depressed. We should no more criticize somebody who's taking medicine for their depression than we should criticize somebody for taking insulin for their diabetes. We don't do that. Or criticize a heart patient for taking medicine for the benefit of their heart. And we don't criticize an asthmatic for using inhalers, do we? Or taking their medicine. I thank God in heaven that He is providing and has provided many wonderful medications through medical science and research and all those kind of things. God has provided a lot of gifts to people to help them to feel better and to get better. And I pray to God that the researchers can find out more and be more effective. That's a gift from God. You know, come on, if your eyes are poor and they need glasses, what do? You wear glasses, right? If your ears aren't working too good, what's the smart thing to do? Get a hearing aid. I said, get a hearing aid. No, I'm just kidding. If your leg is broken, and one of our little girls here today, she's walking with crutches. She broke her leg, okay? What are we going to say? Oh, you should have better, more faith. Don't use those crutches. You say, what are you, stupid or something? You need a crutch? Use a crutch. You need a wheelchair? Use a wheelchair. You know that the brain is an organ of the body, just like the heart, just like the kidneys, just like the liver. Things can go wrong with the brain. It's an organ of the body. And if you can take medication to help that, do it. Absolutely do it. And I would take that medicine and not give a rip about anybody's negative view or disapproval. I wouldn't care. Of course, now, good mental health doesn't come from just taking medicine, okay? We've got to be careful to try to discern the symptoms of depression and try to understand the causes of it. Why am I depressed? It really helps if you can know. You see, we are very intricate, complex beings. And there is no one-size-fits-all remedy for things, especially when it comes to depression. So maybe something that helped you greatly might not help the other person at all. So we've got to be careful about that and sensitive to our friends and family members who are going through this, not to dismiss their distress, not to say, well, here's a simple little remedy. That doesn't help, and it might not be their remedy. Remember, we said it's not a matter of if we will be depressed, but simply when. And so when you're depressed, it's good to know why. Is it because of a disappointment you had? Is it because of some rejection that took place? Some failure you feel like you've had in your life, or some limitation? And we've all got limitations to live with and deal with. Or have you suffered a great loss of some kind? Do you know why you're depressed? Is it something else? You know, sometimes it's just hard to know why. I'm blessed not to be depressed very often. Just it's rare with me. But there was one time in my life when I felt like I really had a strong depression going on. And it was while we were in Parisburg, and I was the pastor of a really fine church there. Good group of people. And at the time, hey, my family was doing just fine. My wife and I were getting along just fine, as best we do get along, you know, that sort of thing. I'm just kidding, honey. We get along real great, baby. The kids were doing great. There was nothing wrong with them. The church was doing really, really fine. There weren't any problems or problem people in the church. In short, you know, life's never perfect, but everything was great. But for some reason, I felt depressed. I mean, it was really strong. I had trouble just putting one foot in front of the other. And I could go through the routine, but my heart wasn't in it. My head wasn't in it. I was just feeling really, really depressed. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I was healthy, as far as I knew. All those sorts of things. It was really mystifying. Really, really strange. And if you asked me to probe the meaning of it or the purpose of it, the best I could come up with was the feeling, the overwhelming feeling, what difference does it make? What difference does anything make? I think I was where the guy in Ecclesiastes was like, it's just useless. It's just vanity. There's nothing to it. What difference does it make? But after a number of weeks, and I don't remember how long, it seemed like a long time, the mood lifted. It went away. Felt fine. And to this day, I have no idea why I was depressed. Maybe it was something physical that I didn't know. Maybe it was just, you know, you go through stages in life where you're shifting from one area to the next as you get older. Maybe it was that. I don't know. But I never want to forget that experience, because it makes me sympathetic to people when they're depressed. And I go, oh yeah, I know that feeling's like. And if they're confused about the cause, I go, oh yeah, I know what that's like. And it helps. When we are depressed, when we are going through these tough times, it's good, just don't give up. Don't give up, don't give in. Don't think that you will always be this way. Don't think that God hates you, because he doesn't. And he's not out to get you. And he wants you to feel better about yourself, and he wants you to feel better about everything. He really does. So talk about how you feel with somebody else who understands, or somebody who cares, somebody who'll just listen. If I can be that person for you, you know, I'd be glad to. I won't understand completely. I won't understand it all or get it, but boy, I'm willing to be there for you. Okay? Seek professional help, whether it be a physician, a psychiatrist, or a counselor. Man, look for them. If I had kidney failure, I would go to a kidney specialist. If I have some kind of emotional difficulty or something, the brain's not quite right, I'll go to a professional who knows what he or she is doing. Not to do that would be foolish. Have a strong social network. That greatly helps. Being part of a group that enjoys doing the same activities, enjoys doing something, a hobby or something like that, is a great thing to do. Really helps to lift your mood. And church. Church is a wonderful place and setting and setup to help lift your mood. You know, churches are not perfect. None of them are. But we can really help each other in a very important and purposeful cause. Living for God in Jesus Christ. Nothing more important. You know, there's a whole lot to do, and it's all important. I hope it is said of Mount Hermon Baptist Church that we don't shoot our wounded. If they're wounded and feeling depressed, we're not going to be shooting at them. We're just going to be trying to help and uplift, and love and encourage. I hope that is said of us. So get involved. Get connected. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I feel so blue, I can't. Well, you know, that's the catch 22 here. You won't feel better when you're just limiting yourself to your own little life. You got to get out. And then you will feel better. So it's a step of faith. But man, do it. Try it. The good news is people recover from depression. As Mark McMillan noted in his book, he's a professor of psychology at George Fox University. And one of his friends said, as Christians, we have no right to give up hope. There may be a time to take Prozac and a time to give it up, but there is never a time to give up hope. And with that, I say that's a good word. That is a very good word. We'll talk about it today. We're going to talk about it next Sunday in a little different way with some more things, okay? And talk about it the Sunday after that because it is a deep, big, important subject. Let's see what else we can discover about this. So since we're going to be talking about it in such an honest way, I suggest that you tell your friends. Tell your friends this. Tell them, you want to know what depression is? Come to Mount Hermon Baptist Church. Oh, well, maybe there's a little better way to phrase it, huh? But boy, it sure feels... Sometimes life just feels really, really bad. I'm glad we can be honest about that. And we'll do our best by faith. Let's pray. Father, we want to even thank you for allowing us to struggle with these things. We don't think we want to do it, but there's help and a blessing when we have difficulties or we're feeling really down and blue. We confess to you our frailties, our weaknesses, and we pray that we might find the best kind of strength that comes from doing that and trusting you. Father, in our wisdom, if it's the best we can come up with today, we'll trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.